Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The ERA is being resurrected. There is a political effort to add the so-called Equal Rights Amendment to the U.S. Constitution with only three states ratifying it. Yes, three states, not 38 states as the Constitution requires. We have Barb Marshall, a former Virginia state legislator who served 26 years in the Virginia General Assembly, to tell us about this today. Bob recently wrote an article. It was an August 23rd article for the Federalist, and that explains all this, and he's going to tell us what we can do about it. Thanks, Bob, for being with us.
Well, Diane, thanks for recognizing the importance of this. You know, this is really a devious end run around the Constitution.
Right.
Like I say, it is so duplicitous to think you can take an amendment that, first of all, it should have died in 1979 after 7 years. It was extended 3 years and 3 months and some days to June of 1982. And everybody acknowledged, if you don't extend this, it's going to die. And I put quotes in there from Eleanor Smeal, just then Professor Ruth Bader Ginsburg, now Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, President Jimmy Carter, a letter to the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And I have a separate quote I didn't put in there, but I found it afterwards, where Lawrence Tribe, who's kind of a liberal icon, said if Congress does not extend this or the states get ratified by the initial deadline, it's dead.
Yeah, and I was surprised that Jimmy Carter, he wrote in July 1978 to the Judiciary Chairman, he said, I am hopeful that ERA will be ratified before the present deadline expires. That was disappointing to read that. He had written that to the Judiciary Chairman. Apparently, he did not understand the ERA, or he was in full support of the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. That was another disappointment racked up on Jimmy Carter's side. You know, when you look at the language of the Equal Rights Amendment, it sounds pretty safe, maybe. It says equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Pretty simple.
Until you start thinking about it, you're right. It sounds nice.
Yeah.
But let's start thinking about this. If abortion, you want to make a law banning abortion? That's a law that derives from a sexual distinction. Mm-hmm. You can't do that.
Right.
If you want to say that women should not have to be in military frontline combat, you can't do that. If you want to say that a doctor who doesn't want to perform abortion should have a conscience clause right, well, he's not going to have a right to say no because he's making a distinction based on sex. Mm. So, I mean, this goes so far afield.
Yeah.
Of what you would normally think. And here, if you've got a church which has a denomination that only has male clergy, you will not get a tax-exempt.
Right, tax-exemption, right. That is very troubling. And we look at today's society where we have some federal courts and the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity,
Employment Opportunity Commission.
The redefining the word sex in Title IX, I believe it is, Title VII or Title IX, you know, they're expanding that definition to include gender identity. So even those who are confused about their sexuality, confused about their gender, when you're talking about passing the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, that would encompass them with the word sex because of their attempts to redefine that within the civil rights, 1964 civil rights law.
Well, correct. And again, the recent use of the term sex is now including this loose application of gender so that you can change from male to female, which is bizarre.
Exactly.
And I mean, you physically can't do that, but that is how the term is being used. And there have been no legislative hearings since like the mid-1980s on this at all. The last one was in, I think, 1983 and 84 in the United States Senate, in which there was an amendment, an ERA version put in by then-Senator Paul Tsongas, and when he was asked questions, what does this mean? Will it mean abortion or whatever? He says, well, that'll be up to the courts to decide.
Oh,
well, he was
kidding.
Playing a little bit too coy, because every time he was asked by Senator Hatch, what does this mean, he deferred to the courts. Well, he knew very well what some of this meant, because this was discussed. And I read the hearings both the House and Senate hearings from 1970 and 71. Mm-hmm. I read the ERA extension hearings from 1978 in the House and Senate. And I've read the law review journals on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And very clearly, the legislative history tilts towards, if it doesn't march towards, same-sex marriage. You say, well, you know, what's the difference? You have a same-sex marriage is legal now. You have it based on a screechingly ridiculous mm-hmm. reading of the 14th Amendment,
right.
for which sodomy was criminal in almost every state.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
You know, in 1868. So the use of the 14th Amendment to say that two guys can get married mm-hmm. or two women can get married is bizarre.
Yeah.
But that, if you
yeah.
have...
And that was, I'm going to just throw out that the 14th Amendment was ratified after the Civil War, and it was specifically targeting freed slaves to be able to give them basically civil rights. This was the main
Correct.
Purpose of it, yeah.
You weren't undoing all the criminal laws
exactly.
dealing with sexuality by the 14th Amendment. And in fact, the reason that happened is because of this so-called incorporation theory, where the first 10 amendments originally applied as restraints against the federal mm-hmm. government, the court later started to say this was going against the state government. This was in the 1940s and 1950s. But I read the resolutions bringing back into the Union the states that theoretically never left, but they had to ratify the 14th Amendment as a condition of getting back in the Union. A bunch of these states did not have trial by jury in certain circumstances.
Mm.
And trial by jury was guaranteed under federal offenses.
Right.
So if the Congress said, hey, you're in complete compliance with the 14th Amendment, the Congress at that time in the 1860s and early 70s was not identifying the Bill of Rights as applying against the states. But the court has done that, and Congress has just let them continue to run amok. And I deal with that in my book, Reclaiming the Republic, but that's today we need to concentrate on this amendment process that is going on in the Congress. There are 206 members of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate who are ready to say that the Equal Rights Amendment is ratified whenever 38 states ratify it. Well, what they're not telling you is that this thing died. If it didn't die in 1979, it sure died in 1982, and then they also do not want to count the rescissions of the Equal Rights Amendment. What does that mean? Whereas the state originally voted for ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment, they later voted no. And there were five states that did that. They first said, yes, we like it. Then they says, wait a minute, we're having
second thoughts. Wow.
And those states were Nebraska, Tennessee, Idaho, Kentucky, and South Dakota. They don't want to recognize that. They say the only thing that a state can do is to ratify this. Well, that's ridiculous, because there's no provision in the U.S. Constitution denying to the states the ability mm-hmm. to reverse themselves on this. If you look at Article 1, Section 10, where it talks about powers denied to the states, you don't see a provision there saying that states can't pull back on an earlier ratification of a proposed constitutional amendment.
Right.
So to claim that they can't do it is just simply making up stories.
Right, and you mentioned Paul Tsongas. He was a Democrat, liberal Democrat from Northeast, from the either New York or the Northeast.
It was Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, okay, yeah, liberal. And you have noted here in your article, in your Federalist article, amendments were rejected to exempt women from frontline ground combat duty, to require husbands to support their children, to keep certain sexual assaults as crimes. These are all amendments that were rejected.
Correct.
To neutralize ERA's effect on abortion, to exempt private schools from the ERA, to protect tax-exempt status of churches that have male-only clergy, which you mentioned. But all of these amendments were rejected. So what Paul Tsongas was saying, or what he revealed in his testimony, was his coyness, his inability or his unwillingness to answer questions. He was exposing the agenda, plus all these rejections of amendments were exposing the true agenda of the ERA. And now this whole effort to say, well, those five states that have changed their mind about their ratification, that they no longer ratify the ERA, attempt to deny them that right to change their mind. And now they're trying to say that it's only going to take, totally ignoring the fact that the deadline's passed. So to begin with, let's start with that. How can they ignore that? that the deadline has passed. Yeah,
but
that's,
they're doing it.
Law
is not self-executing. It's done by human beings. If the Republicans are so timid and they don't want to fight the Democrats doing this, and they'll say, well, I mean, the Democrats will say, well, you don't want to put women in the Constitution. Mm. That's stupid. Women are already protected in the Constitution. There's not one penalty for assault and battery of a man and a lesser penalty for assault and battery of a woman. I mean, this is completely, you know, just bizarre. But the Republicans show no willingness to fight on this, and the only way that they're going to fight is if the people who hear this podcast go to the Federalist, or if you can post this on the website of the AFA for Pennsylvania, the link to the article, take the article and send it to their member of the House of Representatives or their senator and say, are you going to vote to ratify an amendment to the Constitution, the ERA, based on three states? And the three states would be, one would be Nevada, which purportedly ratified this in 2017. The second is Illinois.
Yeah, they just ratified.
We don't know the third one, but there were 15 states up until 1982 that never ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. And they included, at that point, Illinois and Nevada. But now, those are so-called gone in the eyes of the liberals, or their, you know, mind or absence of mind, whatever it is.
So,
well, but right now, the legislatures of North and South Carolina are still in session. Those two states never ratified this. So this motion to ratify the ERA could come up right now, while because those states, their legislatures are still technically in session. I think they go out in November. Louisiana never ratified it. Georgia never ratified it. So you've got, 13 states out there that are going to be targeted. Virginia's one of them, and unfortunately, our people are starting to weaken, you know, down here on this. So this is going to happen, and the crazies are going to be out here just ignoring history, ignoring time, and ignoring their own promise, because they said, if you don't do this, and you read some of those, or I had mentioned it, this amendment is dead.
Yeah.
So how does it come back to life? This is like Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's good. That is exactly what it is, because I thought it was dead. And then, you know, then I began to hear rumblings like, of course, most recent one that was in Illinois had ratified the ERA. I'm thinking, what? How can that be? I thought it was dead. So originally it was supposed to, if it had not gotten 38 states within, well, by 70, set by 1977.
No, 79. It was passed out of Congress March 22nd. The Senate voted for it in 1972.
Oh, 72, okay.
They added a restriction for 7 years. Now, where do they get that from? Every amendment since 1917 had a time limit for ratification of 7 years. There was only two that didn't. One became law. It was the women's suffrage, the voting for women. And the other was an amendment allowing Congress to pass laws regulating or prohibiting child labor, but the Supreme Court reversed itself on that, so that one kind of fell to the side. But every other amendment that Congress reported out, whether it passed or did not pass, had a 7-year limit on that.
Okay.
And the reason that was there is because in the both a Supreme Court decision in the 1920s and going back to the Federalist Paper, and I think it's number 85, Hamilton talks about you must have an agreement at one time of the correct number of the minimum number of states necessary to change the Constitution. And if it flips all around, you don't have it at any one time, you're really not changing the Constitution. What has gone on here is because the agreement is not contemporaneous. The Congress took an amendment that had been floating around. Well, here, let me back up a second. The original 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, was sent to the states by the first Congress.
Right.
There actually were 12 amendments that were sent. Mm-hmm. Of the, you know, beyond the 10 that we've adopted as the Bill of Rights, there was one providing for prohibitions on pay raises for members of Congress unless there was an intervening election. And the other one was, and this is still pending out there, an amendment that says the House of Representatives shall consist of one representative for each 50,000 population. If you had that amendment passed right now, and there was no time limits on any of these first 12 amendments, if you passed that now, there would be 6,400 members of the House of Representatives, which is unbelievably unwieldy.
Yeah.
They're bad enough as it is.
That's for sure.
And if you have that many, this is just, it's not going to be workable. But to get back to the point as to why we're in this fix, a law student in Texas in the early 1980s found that the pay amendment was still floating around. In other words, it had never been rejected by act of Congress, that it was never passed by the states.
Right.
So he then started a kind of a one-man crusade, and he, interestingly, got enough states to total to 38, which is what you need right now, that's three-fourths of 50, to get this amendment placed before Congress for their saying, yes, it's ratified, or no, it's not, for whatever reason. The Congress could have said, look, this thing timed out, but we're going to pass another one today.
Right.
But they didn't do that. Don Edwards, who was a liberal Democrat from California, said, look, this should be understood as being an exception to the normal process of things being contemporaneous. Senator Roth from Delaware, I didn't put this in here, but he said this is going to be a problem in the future, and he was right, because what has happened now, the Congress in 1992 declared the pay amendment ratified. Well, the equal rights people, who immediately after their loss in 1982 started resubmitting amendments to start over in 1983, and they actually got a vote in 1983, but they fell short of two-thirds. Anyway, they said, hey, Congress passed a 203-year-old amendment. They can pass our amendment, which started in 1972, but they're totally ignoring the fact that there were two time limits on it.
Right.
And everybody who was advocating the time limit said it's dead if you don't get it by here. So this is a huge gap that they're just, shutting their eyes to reality
here. Exactly. It's a typical liberal. They have very short memories, or they tend to forget, ignore what don't want to acknowledge, or that they don't want the public to know about. So looking at Nevada and Illinois, which just within the last 2 years have passed these equal rights amendments, are those even legal? Because the ERA's dead. So are those two ratifications even legal?
That's what the resolutions that I refer to, and if people go to the article at the Federalist, there are links to the resolution introduced by Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland, and there are links to the resolution introduced by the Congresswoman from California.
Jackie Speier, whatever. Right,
You can see, and all they're saying is that whenever 38 states ratify House Resolution 208, which is what the Equal Rights Amendment was contained in, that it's ratified. But again, they're glossing over the two deadlines that passed.
Yeah, yeah.
They're glossing over that this has been dead for all these years.
Since
82. But again, liberals are in the fantasy world. Unfortunately, if the Republicans don't have a good backbone, they're going to get this.
If they don't understand, if they don't know the history behind this, because I would think, many of them don't. I mean, I was surprised and thinking, well, how can this happen? So those 206, you said U.S. House members and U.S. senators. Do you happen to know if they're mostly Democrats? I would assume
There's only one non-Democrat, but he's really a Democrat. I looked at the list. It's Bernie Sanders. He's a Democrat. He runs as an independent, but everybody else on the list in both the House and the Senate are Democrats.
Okay. So all Dems except Sanders, who is a socialist.
For all practical purposes, he's a Democrat.
Right.
He ran for president as a Democrat.
Yeah.
So he's a Democrat.
Absolutely.
But the problem here is this will completely shut down the right to life effort or the amendment or the effort to bring real marriage back.
Right.
Because these people will have a constitutional basis for this, and they're proceeding by stealth, because neither Jackie Speier, the congresswoman, or Senator Cardin are telling everybody, oh, by the way, if you do this, you're going to have constitutional justification for same-sex marriage and abortion, and you're not going to simply have Supreme Court decisions. They're not saying any of this.
Exactly.
Because they want to avoid this controversy.
Right.
And unfortunately, the Republicans are gutless enough that, they may let them do it.
Yeah. And you quote Senator Cardin's tweet after the Illinois vote. His tweet says, quote, "Most Americans are shocked to find out that the U.S. Constitution still lacks a provision ensuring gender equality. We need just one more state to ratify.
Right.
We need Congress to do its part by passing SJ Res 5, which would immediately remove the arbitrary and unnecessary deadline for states to ratify the ERA. So right there, gender equality, I mean, that's buzzword right there. Those are two buzzwords. That's a buzz phrase right there, gender equality, because that's the phrase that the LGBTQ activists use all the time when they're pushing open bathrooms and everything.
Transgender, yep. Right. The word gender is not in the amendment.
Yep.
He's using it as a substitute for sex.
Yep, exactly.
So that should tell you where they want to go with this thing.
Yep.
So, I mean, you really have to do two things. You've got to say to your member of Congress, I mean, get a copy of this resolution.
Yeah, we'll definitely put a link. We'll put a link to your article when I post this up on our website. I'll put a link to your article with that.
And all your supporters of the AFA in Pennsylvania, please post this to your Facebook, the link to the article, and share it with your email friends.
Mm-hmm.
The more people see about this, the more likely we can stop this. And then you write to your member of Congress, if you're in Pennsylvania, I presume most of your supporters are in Pennsylvania, and ask your senators and ask your congressmen, are you going to vote to have an equal rights amendment ratified by only three states, yes or no.
Yeah.
No in between, no playing around. My article is 1,000 words. This is very, they can read this while they're sitting in a car going from one campaign event to another.
Yeah.
This does not, it's not an encyclopedia you have to read. It's 1,000 words.
We'll definitely get the word out, Bob, and I appreciate you clarifying just how the Democrats are seeking to rewrite history and make it appear that this is still a viable amendment out there, and the action steps we need to take to wake up our members of Congress and the U.S. Senate, for sure. And, you know, Senator Casey's up for re-election in November. We're hoping that he loses. But
You need to ask him. You need to make this a controversy in this current race, because, again, every right to life effort is done with and over if this passes,
which is tragic, absolutely tragic.
All
the decades have been put into the right to life effort. And, you know, pro-life groups need to get on board, too, because they, like you're saying, their efforts will end with the ratification of this amendment under the false assumption that just three more states are all that's needed to ratify the amendment.
Right. Well, they're actually claiming now it's only one more state.
Well, one, because, that's true. Nevada and Illinois, so they were saying only one,
right,
forgetting the fact that five has changed their minds. So, yeah, we definitely have the word up.
Switched.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
correct. That's crazy. So if people have questions, can they contact you if they have any questions about this? Or just...
My email is at the end of the article at The Federalist. And please, send me an email. I've answered questions that people got back to me when they saw the article.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Sure,
fantastic.
I'll do that.
Fantastic. Yeah, you're right. It's right there. Okay, thanks so much, Bob, for clarifying this and for articulating the urgency of contacting our U.S. representatives and U.S. senators to get this stopped.
Absolutely.
Because it's... 206, that's too many who have signed on.
Yes, it is. That's almost half of the entire numbers of the House and the Senate.
Okay, we'll get the word out for sure.
Thank you very much.
See if we can get this stopped. So you take care, and we will get busy on this.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.